But we're going to talk about the word prepare today. I made up this little goofy thing in my head that I just want to try to minimize my titles to one word. So I wonder if, does anybody try to figure out what that is? And I bet most of the time they haven't figured it out, but I'm not going to be talking about doomsday prepping today or anything like that. It's just about living in our daily lives, being prepared to walk out our daily life, really. It's very, very simple. Again, I've said it before. I'm just a simple guy. I was thinking about that this week, and I wonder what the lyrics are to that song, Simple Man, Lynyrd Skynyrd. So I started listening to that. I've heard the song by other bands, but just like, yeah, it's about 80% decent. Part about following your heart can goof you up. You shouldn't follow your heart. You should follow the Holy Spirit. Because your heart changes with the wind. So, anyways. So we're going to talk about prepared today. And again, when I just get a leading somewhere, it's usually a word. And then when this word kind of dropped in me, the first image, which really only I would probably care about this, and Pastor Chad might laugh at it, but I went back to a time I was in a river that was a little too high, a little too fast, and I had practiced a knot that I knew I wanted to tie in this type of fishing, and he was off somewhere and fishing, and I came to the point where I needed to know this knot. And so I thought, yeah, I remember how to do it. I tied it maybe a few times, three or so. So I'm sitting there, and it's not really a long story, but I was sitting there for a long time. I'm talking over 20 minutes. You want to talk about irritating? I'm like, I know I'm doing this right. So anyways, I get out of the river cautiously. I thought I was going to flow away. And he comes over, he's like, how's it going, or whatever, and I was like, yeah, I've been sitting here for 20 minutes in this river trying to figure out this knot, and I know I was doing it right, I had to have, but obviously I wasn't. And he's like, what are you trying to tie? And I told him, and he did a different, kind of get to the same place kind of thing, same knot, and he like, you know, what, 3 seconds? I usually just do that. I'm like, that would have been nice to know. So, anyways, but I listened to somebody on a semi-regular basis who's a, you know, angler, master angler, 50 years, and I've heard it, he says over and over and over, just repeats the basics all the time, the best place to learn your knots is on the couch. I'm like, now I know. So that's what I do in my spare time. I tie knots. So I actually keep two really long spools of Mason line in my vehicle, and I just sit there and at lunch, and I just learn new knots and tie them. So now I'm ready. Now if I could just figure out how to go fishing, we'll be all set. All right. So anyways, that took way too long. But I'm going to just, again, this is a reminder. Talking about preparing just for everyday life, and we're all in preparation, right? I didn't want to call this prepared, because we're never going to be really prepared. It's about preparing. Always in the process, right? We're never going to, Tim mentioned it, we're never going to arrive. But, you know, maybe all throughout life, I mean, right now, me and my wife are preparing to get out of our house. We're kind of doing some stuff to it, and that's a process. Preparing, you know, you're always, if you're my age, you're preparing for someday retirement. I'm not going to retire. I'm just going to change what I do. I'm going to work till the day I leave the earth. But the hunters aren't here, the ones I was thinking of this morning, but I'll bet you they're preparing right now for deer season, getting their bows all squared away and all that stuff. But, you know, you prepare for big purchases. You prepare for leaving this world, right? That's really the preparation. That we all know is the most important is the day we look forward to seeing our Savior face to face. And there's a lot of, I hear these regurgitated over and over, and if they're of value, I'll go ahead. If they're not, throw them away. But just in the way of preparedness, you know, I like the one-liners, so I collected a few here. But the famous, he's a famous prince, actually, from Bel Air, Will Smith, you know him? It's better to be prepared than to get ready. But you have to get ready to be prepared. I don't know. I was like, eh, oh, that's decent. But there's one that I heard, and when I heard it, I thought, this is really good. But a UFC fighter, Conor McGregor, says, I stay ready so I don't have to get ready. He stays ready so he doesn't have to get ready. And that's, I actually have that. I like that so much, I put it on my computer at work. Because that's important. And then John Wooden, the UCLA basketball coach, says confidence comes from being prepared. Confidence comes when you know you're ready. When you know you're ready and you're prepared, fear kind of dissipates. And then the last one, there might be a few more later, but the last one, I like to see this guy in my wallet a lot. Ben Franklin says, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. You've all heard that one, right? So there's a lot going on in the world that's not good. Amen. That's pretty obvious, right? But where should our focus be? And that's what we're going to talk about just today, a reminder, if you will. I can get caught up in my day-to-day routine, going into work, plugging in, throwing the AirPods in or whatever, and turning on the stuff and getting the latest and greatest. And sometimes I get caught up if I start out right away and just flooding myself with current information, real news, not fake news. But even that can be a lot to take, and it can start, you know, stressing you out and whatever. It, you know, it affects different people different ways. But I know in my spirit, okay, it's time to shut this off. It's time to step into my flow. It's time to step into some truth. It's time to step into my reality. You know, the Lord's reality. That's what I'm saying. It's time to get kingdom-minded. You know, it's time to reset your mind. So that's what we're going to get into today. I don't want to be throwing out any false information, but this is probably going to be a short message. But you'll be the judge of that. So we're going to look at Psalm 119. You've all heard this, but I really like this out of the Passion Translation. Psalm 119, 105 says, truth's shining light guides me in my choices and decisions. The revelation of your word makes my pathway clear. And most of us have heard this in the translation that says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And the second part of that in the Passion, the revelation of your word makes my pathway clear. Holy Spirit, He is the one. He shows us. He's our helper that brings that revelation of the word of God to us. And in John 16, 13, it says, however, when He, this is Jesus talking to His disciples, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. So it's Holy Spirit who guides us as we allow Him into all truth. What is truth? Well, who is truth? Jesus is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So Holy Spirit is going to lead us more into Jesus. His part of His role is to reveal more of Jesus to us, more of the truth to us, because Jesus is the truth. Jesus is a lot of things. Jesus is grace. Jesus is peace. Jesus is love. Jesus is truth. He is the light, and He's the way. There's nothing you'll ever need that He's not. All right? Just so you know that. And Jesus prayed in John 17, 17, says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus is the word made flesh. So when we hear Jesus talking, we should open up our ears. And so I was praying this morning, Lord, not just speak through my mouth and think through my mind, but hear through my ears and see through my eyes, but give me ears to hear what you're saying this morning. And he spoke to me this morning through all you guys. Thank you. I meant to say this in the beginning, but I want to thank Pastor Chad right now for just the time he took to prepare those songs and the lyrics and stuff. Wasn't it awesome? So appreciative of the blessing he is to us, and thank God for how he wired him. Technologically savvy, he makes us look really good, and I'm very grateful for that. So thank you on behalf of everybody I know. So it was a sweet, just that, what a sweet presence of the Lord this morning. Would you agree? That psalm probably better is, you know, one day in your courts and 1,000 elsewhere. It's just that, or, you know, that song came up in me. I was singing that too, but just a beautiful presence of the Lord. And, you know, he desires that from you all the time. He desires for you to realize, you know, he's always present, but we're not aware of it. And there's a book been written, I've read it a couple of times, Practicing His Presence. And that's just verbalizing out loud, acknowledging, Lord, I thank you for your presence in my car, in the shower, in wherever you're at, doing the dishes, you know. His presence, he wants you to step in into that flow. He wants to inhabit your praises, whether it's not just here at Charis New Testament Church, not just, you know, at some event with brothers and sisters, but he wants to inhabit your praises in your car, in your, you know, in your home, everywhere. He so desires that. He so longs. He wants to hang out. He wants to, boy, he wants to be with you more than you want to be with him. He is bananas for you. If I think Keith Green said that. He's bananas. Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's the simplest way to put it. We're his children. My kids get annoyed with how much I want to be with them, I think. I'm pretty sure. That's one thing I was going to mention is things you want to be prepared for. I think the first one I skipped it is the teen years. I don't think that's possible. I'm not sure. I really miss the Lord. We're still going through it, but that's a supernatural anointing that's needed, right? I know y'all have been through it. I'm not from the South, but I'm doing that for Christina's benefit. But y'all have been through the teenage years. I might need some help. So just be ready, okay? Now, I'm enjoying it. But it's different than the toddler years, I tell you that much. Different. That's just ridiculous to say out loud. Of course it is. All right, I just can't wait for the frontal lobes to connect. Is there where the cause and effect comes into play? I think that's around the age 25, though. That's the problem. So, yeah. So, no, but that answers a lot of questions about my youth. So, jumping off houses and trying to figure out where I'm going to land and all that. All right. So, we're going to go back to the Word because we're in the Bible, we're in the church. So, we need to read the Bible. All right. So, Jesus is the truth, He's the Word made flesh. And we're going to see in Proverbs 4:20 through 22 in the Amplified Classic Edition. My son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Healing and health to all their flesh. Isn't it interesting that the Word made flesh took on stripes on His back for our healing? And there's so much interlacing and so much illustration and picture pictures of the beauty of the way God did everything. He didn't leave nothing. He didn't leave anything out. He didn't leave anything out. So the real you, the real us, our spirit, right, is constantly hungering for the life-giving truth of the Word of God, whether we know it or not. And the whole world is hungry for this. And those who don't know Jesus are spiritually dead, but they try to fill that. You know, the cliche is the fill in the void and all that. Even when you're a born-again believer, I mean, I'm guilty of it, trying to satisfy, I'm not paying attention or something. Satisfy, you're feeding on soul junk food, thinking that, and then you just keep eating and keep eating. Like, I used to get the big bags of Doritos, and you just, those things are lab created to make you hungry. It's weird. I've heard some weird stuff about food like that, but I mean, one serving was the bag for me. Like, get to the bottom, where's the next bag? Like, you know, that just like natural junk food, that soul junk food, it just leaves us wanting more. Leaves us wanting more, you know, for anybody who binges your favorite streaming service, you know. There's nothing wrong with watching your favorite show. I'm not, you know, messing with your stuff, but you do you. But no, but you can catch yourself just maybe come to your senses for a second. What the heck am I doing? How long have I been sitting here watching the umpteenth episode of this that's adding no value to my life, you know? And again, it's just feeding on junk food. Again, I'm not saying don't do that. We need our zone out time. We need our chill out time, our relaxing time. I get all that. I do it. But it's just a raise awareness. In reality, you know, whether it's natural junk food, soul junk food, whatever, it's just killing us, you know, in a lot of different ways. And we need to wake up and be aware of that. In our life, you know, we're talking about making the Word of God, that truth of the Word of God, a priority in our life. And that's for you just stepping out the front door. And you know, as Andrew Womack and all related ministers and other ministers, you know, having that creating that biblical worldview. Because lies, what is the enemy's only weapon is lying, right? And he's got a lot of agents out there. And the lies are spewing more and more. I believe it's just going to be greater and greater. It's almost like I had this weird word picture in my head, like of volcanoes spewing out this lava, and it was lies all over the globe. And more and more and more, is he knows his time is short. And the lies are going to come more and more powerful. But then that's what I'm kind of pointing to here, is just the importance of renewing our mind of the truth and fortifying who we are, seeing us in the mirror of the Word of God, who we are, and not giving in to the enemy's lies. But consistency, I heard this statement from Gloria Copeland years ago, but in consistency lies the power. In consistency lies the power. And like, you realize you could take one axe swing at a tree, I don't care how big the tree is, you could do it once a day. Eventually, there's going to be a day that thing falls. It's about consistency. Even if the axe is a little bit dull, if you take one swing, eventually that thing is going to fall over. And that's just a picture of consistency. Abraham Lincoln said, if I was given 6 hours to chop down a tree, I would spend the first 4 hours sharpening my axe. And that's preparing, right? That's preparing. I know that probably nobody cared about that, but you can tell somebody else, you'll look really smart. Share that. But consistent sowing of the Word of God, consistent sowing of the Word of God, renewing our mind to the truth of the Word of God, will produce results in our lives, the results that God wants to see in our lives, right? As we continue to plant, the sower sows the Word. I'm not going to go into that parable, but the sower sows the Word. And You know, that whole parable talks about the different soil of our heart, the weeds that choke out the word. The enemy's number one role is to steal the word out of our heart. Today, first thing he wants to do, whatever you've heard today that you've grabbed hold on, the enemy's job, his role is to steal that word so it doesn't take root in your heart. Whether it was a word of encouragement you needed to hear, some truth you needed repeated, that Jesus is your healer, whatever it is, the enemy wants to steal that word out of your heart. He wants to lie to you and say, no, God doesn't care that much about you. He's got enough to deal with. But he wants to steal that word. And that's part of this consistency we need in our lives. I know I need it. But we're flushing out that junk of the world, the lies of the enemy, maybe an unrenewed mind, strongholds maybe we have in our mind that have been built that we don't even realize are there. You know, if I had a cup of water, of dirty water. Well, here's some dirty water, dirty with coffee grounds. But this coffee, if I had a 50-gallon drum above me with pure, clean, unadulterated, just crystal clear water, and there was a spout, I opened the cap and just let that sucker come out. Eventually, that's going to wash all this coffee out, and it's going to be nothing but pure water. And that's the thing is about consistency, sowing the word of God in your heart, renewing your mind. That flushes that junk out, those lies maybe we believed, the lies the enemy keeps repeating over and over that we grab onto, and we don't even realize we're grabbing onto them. But the word of God, we're cleansed by the washing of the water of the word. We're cleansed by that. And that's, I just want to encourage you to maybe see that. Use that as a word picture in your own life that it doesn't feel like, I'll tell you what, it's not like you get goosebumps and whatever every time you open the Bible and this is fun. But sometimes you got to flush. Guess what we're going to do right now? You're going to get your butt out of bed and we're going to go sow truth into our heart. And maybe that's early in the morning, maybe that's late at night, whatever kind of person you are. I'm early guy, but not lately because flooring in the house has taken precedence. So I can barely peel myself out of bed, but this too shall pass. But whatever that is, I mean, you need to tell your flesh to shut up sometimes. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do it consistently. You might not see results instantly, but before you do it, go in with an expectancy. Say, Holy Spirit, now I know that one of your roles is to reveal Jesus to me, to reveal truth. You're the Spirit of truth. So I'm expecting truth to be revealed to me right now, even if it's just one little snippet. And then after, just meditate on that. Chew it over and over. And then as you go out your days, you go out the door, whatever you do in your day, whatever that looks like. Holy Spirit, thank you for reminding me of this truth that you revealed to me. I'm that much more powerful. I'm that much more dangerous to the enemy today now. Amen? Thank you, Bobby. All right. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 in the New Living Translation. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Every good work. Really, Scripture a lot of times is like a light that turns on. I don't know how he said it, so I'm not going to try to do it because it wouldn't be funny if I tried to do it, but it was funny when I heard it. Years ago, Kenneth Hagin, if you know who that is, I don't know, he was making some illustration or whatever and about an attic, and this lady turned an attic on and she turned the lights on and all this dirt and cobwebs. She's like, oh my gosh, look what the lights did, you know, but no, it's, that was already, obviously that was already, it's ridiculous to say, but again, he said it in a funny way, but you know, it just exposes what was already there. And that's one thing about God's Word, and we see in this verse here. It's going to expose what's already there. And it's not going to happen overnight. And don't try to get on your soapbox. This is a little side note here. If Holy Spirit reveals something to you and like, hey, maybe brings correction in your life over something or says, hey, I want you to change this or do this, don't get on your soapbox and tell everybody else that they need to do it. Okay? Because, you know, whether it's, we'll take the worst sin in the whole world, smoking. No. yeah, right. But I've seen that happen where the Lord just like set somebody free in that, whatever that is. And then they try to beat it over somebody else's head. Well, they're not ready, maybe. Whatever that is, it could be anything. And, you know, again, I'm not picking on, that was just, I was trying to be funny. Hope nobody's offended by that. But yeah, just be open. When he shines a light on something, say, don't be so stubborn. You know what, Lord? You're right. But guess what? I need some help. Well, good. Holy Spirit, your helper. He can help you, right? So we need God's light to shine on our mess, you know? We got some messes. You can't fool me. We're messy people. I won't say who it was, but I heard a wise sage once say Christians are like burritos, a well-disguised mess. All right? That's topical for today. We're having Mexican food. So thought that was applicable. All right. But once we see that truth, once we see that stuff exposed in our lives as we renew our mind to the Word of God, what do we want to be? We want to just let it go in one ear and out the other? No, we want to, James says, be doers of the Word. Don't deceive yourselves. Don't just be hearers, but do it. Apply it, even if it's difficult, you know? Because guess what? God's got your back. He's on your side. If He asks you to do something or not do something or change something or whatever, guess what? His grace is more than enough. His grace will enable you to walk that out to victory. Amen? Because we're already victorious in Him. We can do it. You can do it. So sometimes it's just good to go back to the basics, and I really feel like I was going to address everybody this morning as good morning choir, because I feel like halftime I'm preaching to the choir, right? So, but we all need to hear this, right? I need to hear this, so if I got to, you got to. But the old famous Vince Lombardi. See, we got our Packers fans. Anybody else a Packers fan here besides the Taylors? I think Paul Taylor is, maybe. Anyways, Vince Lombardi, famous coach of the Green Bay Packers. First day of training camp. I heard this regurgitated over and over, but it's about the basics. He held up a football. This is a football. Like they didn't know that. But sometimes we got to go, this is a Bible. This is your Bible. This is square one. Let's start here. And all the truth that's in it. But, you know, so I saw that. I was reminded of that kind of funny moment that those guys must have thought, you're an idiot. Like, why are you telling us this? But it always comes back to the basics. We don't want to forget the basic instruction before leaving Earth. Oh, Bible. Who said that? Was that a song, Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth? Seems like that was a song in the 80s by some Christian band. Or maybe it's just a saying and they made it into a song, but there you go. That was free too. So, this is our Bible. I am what it says I am, and I can do what it says I can do. Amen? Some churches go through a whole spiel on that, and that's good stuff. That's a good reminder. Maybe we'll make a spiel and redo it. So preventive maintenance, where I work in machining world, we make medical tools on all over the world. This is a common term, preventive maintenance. It's maintenance on machines and whatever, to give it the longevity that the manufacturer believes it should have. There's usually a list of things to do. Here's a daily list. You should clean this. Once a week, you should do this. Once a month, you should do this. Every year, tear that whole sucker apart, clean it, whatever. I don't know. Preventive maintenance. It's about something lasting as long as it was manufactured to last. And we have things like this at my workplace. And all that stuff. So how many knows you can apply this to your spiritual life? Preventive maintenance. If we let God's word take priority in our life, if we consistently sow that word in our life, and I was going to write all this stuff down, my phone was acting up, and I almost threw it against the wall. Yeah, sometimes I can get all bent out of shape. We're looking at new phones, though. But I couldn't get this podcast to pull up, and I don't want to go through it because I'll get angry. But I was listening to this podcast, lo and behold, me, by John and Lisa Bevere, and they were talking about the importance of the Word of God, and somebody had done a study. It wasn't Barna Research, but it was somebody that did a study on people who read the Bible at least 4 times a week, and their likelihood, it was in percentages of things. And I'm not going to sit here and try to remember everything, but it was very interesting, just impactful. And you know, if you read the Bible more than at least 4 times a week, you were like 200 and some percent more apt to share your faith with someone. And just it was really interesting and eye-opening. And it even listed gambling statistics in there. It was weird. But it was a very interesting study. But maybe check that out. It's their John and Lisa Bevere's podcast. Check that out. But in my life, we're coming in for a landing here in a sec. But in my life, if I don't schedule something typically or whatever, guess what? It doesn't happen. I think that's why me and Pastor Chad can't figure out how to go fishing together because I haven't scheduled it yet. But our schedule is not aligning. But scheduling, make a plan, and most of us, maybe all of us, I don't know, can say the same thing. And in Habakkuk 2:2, you've heard this reference. Maybe write the vision down and make it plain. They were instructed to write the vision down and make it plain. And you know, there's a statistic. I refreshed my memory on this. You have a 42% greater chance of achieving a goal when it's written down. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? A year or two ago, maybe it was 2000, I think it was 19, before everything went nuts, I got a planner. I had listened to this guy, and I'll call him a mentor or whatever, but he has a planner, and you basically just fill out the stuff that he has in there and all kinds of stuff, from daily things to annual things and things. And I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start living intentionally, write this stuff down. And it was absolutely nuts. I couldn't, if I didn't experience it, I almost wouldn't have believed it. But it was even greater percentage than this, that when I wrote stuff down, I thought, how's this going to happen? I'm talking about, you know, things in there, financial things, paying off the house, different things like that. And I wanted to start reading more books. I broke it down to like a chapter a day, you know, did the math, and, you know, I'll say average book, whatever, it's probably not it. I'm just making this up in my head, 20 chapters in a book, whatever. But I thought, okay, I'll be able to finish about 12 books this year. That's 12 more than I did last year, or 11. And I just want to create a routine and create, you know, a good flow with my life and just get some things done and live intentionally, you know. So by the end of the year, and I'm not a magic, you know, it's magic when you start on January 1st. I learned long ago, I could care less what day it is. This is where the year starts, March 5th. You know, I don't care. Arbitrary dates. So I just implemented it right then, did it. I finished 20, sorry, Pastor Chair, I just baptized you. I finished 28 books that year. 28 books. But isn't that weird? But everything in the, not everything, because I struggle here and there, but I had 10 things, 10 kind of, they say to have 10 goals. More than that's too much. It's overwhelming. Less than that's not stretching enough or whatever. So I didn't accomplish everything, but it was interesting. As you write things down, you live intentionally. You write things down. I don't know what it is. It's God's way of doing stuff. And Habakkuk 2:2, it says, write it down. So there's something about that. But I could encourage you to do that. And this is a side thing. I kind of hesitate on saying what I've done, or I think it's ridiculous. There's no rules. Everybody's got their own thing. I don't care if it's eating or whatever. You're your own person. what works for one person does not work for the other person, whatever. So this is just things I did, and I get maybe bored sometimes and try to figure stuff out and how whatever. But during this year that I was intentional, most intentional so far, I thought, okay, I'm going to read 3 chapters in the New Testament. And I get up pretty early in the morning. I do all this in the morning. Nobody even knows what's going on. They're dead to the world. And then I thought, I'll do 3 chapters in the Old Testament. Well, if you do 3 chapters in the New Testament, do you know you can read the New Testament 4 times in 1 year? That's pretty wild. You probably knew that. I'm the last to know everything, right? Get the calculator out. Okay. And then the Old Testament, I did it. I could read it. I was done by October. Well, early November, because I don't start on January 1st, so I don't know what time it was. And I thought, I got some time. I'll read 3 chapters in Psalms, and I'll read the Psalm by the end of the year. You know, so just things like that, just living an intentional life. Again, this is about making the truth of God's Word priority in our life. Because I tell you what, the devil ain't stopping his lies, his flow, right? We got to shut that down. So, and then this has been, you know, everybody knows this, right? Proverb a day, corresponding to the day it is. Right in Proverbs, it says, get wisdom and get understanding. It's the book of wisdom. I don't care if you read that 4 million times. You're still not going to get it all. You have a good start. But that's important stuff. It says wisdom is a principal thing. That's like tip top. And you know that the neat thing is, going back to Jesus again, this is all about Jesus. It says he has been made unto us wisdom. He is wisdom. He's everything. So, and another thing I found out is you can find a mentor. If you see somebody that's at where you want to be, find out what they're doing. Do what they're doing. You don't even have to know them personally. There's thousands of people on whatever streaming service or whatever your favorite minister is. You can say, I want them to be my mentor, and just start feeding them, reading their books, whatever. You like what you see, or whatever that is. Even if it's not a spiritual thing, it could be anything. Choose a mentor. And then, you know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And do that. If you see someone following Jesus, and you've seen results in their life and things, follow them. Glean from their wisdom, because we need that. Let's look at Paul's advice to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. The New Living Translation says, preach the word of God, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. And some translations say, be ready in season and out of season. And preaching, I heard years ago, to preach something is to proclaim it. To teach it is to explain it, right? We can preach the word. We can proclaim the word. Maybe your people, this is Paul speaking to Timothy in the church. Your people. Well, your people are your family, could be. Your people are your spouse. Your people are your people. I don't know. Your coworkers. But you have the ability to preach the Word of God, to be prepared. I remember just 2 quick stories, maybe. You didn't really think I was going to go short, did you? Just kidding. But years ago, this is 20 plus years ago, and it ended well, but a man walked up to me. I was on third shift, and you know, I was listening to probably cassette tapes back then of any given whatever minister and stuff. But I don't know if anybody's ever prepared for this moment. But I'll tell you what, I called out to Jesus. I called out the Holy Spirit. Help, you guys got to help me. Because there's a reason this happened. This guy walked up and we chit-chatted. You know, you got those guys. I was on a walkway, so everybody who walked by said something. This guy, we talked a little bit here and there, and decent relationship coworker, but he asked me one day, he said, what do you think happens when you kill yourself? And I'll tell you what, that's a scary question. And I thought, where is this going? Obviously, this guy's considering this, and he, you know, caught a significant other with somebody else and all this, and he went out and bought a gun and bought, you know, revolver bullets to basically ice her, this other guy, and himself. And I'm like, Lord, there is no accident that this guy just walked up and just told me this. I'm like, I'm not a counselor. But guess what? The counselor lives in me. Holy Spirit is our counselor, right? I mean, it was instantly. I'm like, he walked away. I'm like, Lord, help. This is serious. I don't want to see this guy go. Well, I befriended him. Well, I mean, we were already friends, but I snuggled in there and just wouldn't let him go. And I invited him to church and all this stuff, and he started coming to a Bible study. And it's a long story, but he grew up in the church, and he walked away from the Lord and all that. And well, he rededicated his life to the Lord and came back to the Lord and didn't kill himself and didn't kill anybody else. And just really, really, the Lord turned his life around. But I just thank God for mercy, because I know I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't prepared for that question. And just a couple weeks ago, another guy, he was our service tech for machines that are in my area, and he's been there. He's been in and out of our area quite a few times. He's from down in the Pontiac area. They're kind of home base around here, and he's a cool guy. And don't really talk to service techs too much. They come in and do their stuff and leave usually. But at the end of the day, he came over at my desk and he's like, yeah, I'm all set. We're going to need this, and it's going to take probably a long time and all that. And I'm like, all right. And then he just starts like vomiting up all this information. And I was like, whoa, like this is not an accident. I'm like, I'm in my head, I'm thinking, I don't know if you can pray in the spirit without moving your mouth, but I was like, Lord, help. Something's going on here. This guy needs you. He was served in, his first day in the military was September 11th, 2001. They were like introducing him to all the weaponry. He was going to be in the infantry, introducing him to all the cool stuff they were going to get to play with. And he was checking it out. And two guys in charge, drill sergeant, whoever, one said to the other, you know, New York just got nuked. That's what he said they said. And he thought immediately, they're joking, like this is part of the hazing here or something, I don't know, or the joke. Lo and behold, you know, it was on. And anyway, he had a lot of stories. And I'm like, dude, you got some serious guardian angels. How are you still alive? He had things coming in. Two guys, him and another guy, sitting across from each other, smoking, taking it. He said it was just like he was living it as I was watching him talk. He said, we both just took a drag on our cigarette. We heard this sound. And this shell hit, like he pointed, like whatever it was from us, 15, 20 feet. I'm like, what's the kill radius on that? He's like, 20 meters. I was like, how are you still here? He's like, I told people after a while I was indestructible. You cannot kill me. He had a few scrapes on his arm. And he's been blown out of Humvees, landed right in the driver's seat. Nobody was in there. He was loading it up, blew him right out the back. But just story after story after story. I'm like, how are you? I was like, dude, I was like, this is no accident that you're talking to me right now about this. I said, you're looking for an answer, and his name is Jesus. I was like, I was looking for an answer, and his name was Jesus. And, you know, he's seen it all. Religion, he sees what religion does, because he served in the war. I said, I'm not talking about religion, man, and got to share with him the gospel. That God didn't require anything of them, that Jesus paid the price that was needed to free us. And I said, all you got to do is receive it. And I said, I mean, I didn't lead him in a prayer or anything. He was like, he was receptive, but I knew when to shut it down and whatever. But moments like that, those are opportunities. I don't know. I just prayed after we got done. It was an hour and a half. I was supposed to leave at 3:30 that day. And we talked for maybe it was 2 hours, I think. We talked. Am I just standing there talking? But I just said, Lord, I pray that those words, I could just feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit at those moments where I was sharing Jesus with him. And his ears were open. And I'm just, Lord, water this seed. Well, I mean, I'm watering something else. Somebody else planted, but those are opportunities, and that's going back to what Paul was telling Timothy, and I believe it applies to all of our lives. Just being ready in season and out of season, not running scared, you know. And I've been there. I've run scared. Like it's been said, we're so selfish. We make a decision for how we feel, how it's going to make us feel. We don't want to make anybody angry telling them about Jesus or whatever. But that's just self-centeredness, right? We know that. But Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." And maybe you're not prepared to leave this earth. Maybe somebody watching, you're not prepared. That's the ultimate preparation, is stepping into... Well, you step into eternity when you're conceived. That's the truth. Because your spirits don't die. But when you step past out of this life without Jesus, you're not prepared. So that's the easy part, though. Because Jesus took our test score, and he's offering it to us, our test, and he's offering his test score to us. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's that word saved, that word salvation, is it includes healing, prosperity, wholeness, completeness, shalom, peace, nothing missing, nothing broken. It covers everything. And he's offering it to you. And if you're out there, you're hearing my voice, maybe you're in the future listening to this on a podcast or something. But Jesus is your answer. And just say, Jesus, I heard you're my answer, and I want you to be my Lord. Now take my life and do something with it. I give up. I receive your righteousness. You took my sin. You paid for it. And I receive your salvation that you're offering to me. And I say, I confess that you are now my Lord. Any way you want to say that, any way you want to cry out to Jesus, it's not like you got to cross some T's and dot I's or something. He already did that for you. I heard he's pulling people over the wall up there in heaven. I saw some cartoon about that, but... He's on our side, and even if you haven't embraced his embrace, he's still on your side, crying out to you. Holy Spirit is wooing you to him. So that's all I got, but I just, again, this is just about taking a step back, taking a pause, and making the truth of the Word of God a priority in our lives. Realizing that, you know, the enemy... He's got all these tactics, all these lies. And again, I think they're just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. But just to create a flow of the Word of God, whether it's reading, I mean, listening, you know what works in your life. But don't set it aside, because I used to get condemned if I didn't read my Bible or something. But you know what? I just get hungry. I just get hungry, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I get hungry. when I know there's a hunger in me, and I'm like, wait, that's my spirit, man, crying out, feed me truth, feed me the words of life. Amen. So we're going to pray. I'm going to close in prayer. I'll pray over the food. If you're just finding out about food today, we're having Mexican food downstairs. So feel free to stay. We want you to stay. Make yourself at home. And I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to pray over the food. And we're actually going to close in song also. Father, we thank you for your goodness in our lives. Lord, we thank you for your word that is sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. We thank you for the correction that it brings, the instruction that it brings, the peace that it brings. Thank you, Lord, for the mirror of your word. As we choose to look into your word, Lord, maybe our eyes be open to see ourselves and to see who we really are, who you call us to be. That your word, whatever your word says, we can do. Whatever your word says we can have. And your word, Lord, is powerful. The gospel, it's the power of God unto salvation. I pray, Lord, that anybody in the sound of my voice that hasn't reached out to you and called on your name, that you would, Holy Spirit, draw them to Jesus, woo them into Jesus, and open their eyes to reveal their need for a Savior. And I thank you, Lord, for just this word going in, taking root in our hearts and producing a harvest in our lives. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing Jesus to us today, for revealing the word to us today. And B, we ask that you would just be magnified in this place and make a habitation in our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.